This is the Physical Activity Researcher Podcast, a podcast for researchers of sedentary behavior, physical activity, and sports. Join for a relaxed dialogue about research design, practicalities, and, well, anything related to research. Learn from your fellow researchers useful and relevant information that does not fit into formal content and limited space of scientific publications. And here is your host, researcher and entrepreneur, Ollie Tikkanen.
Yeah, so you challenge the brain, better adaptations you get.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So if we think then your current research, do you think like the you are measuring the exercise and the changes in cognition in a longer term? Do you think they are linked to these EEG changes during, or is it just a really tiny part and everything else plays a big part?
Oh, that's a really difficult question. When we think of the effects of exercise on cognition, we know something, but we don't know too much about it. So we tend to, a typical study would be that you have these cognitive tests before and after the training, and then you look at the changes during the cognitive test and also probably the brain's response. And with this kind of paradigm, we can say, okay, that's the process or the cognitive process that actually changed and that was driving also changes in behavior performance on a cognitive test. But we don't know too much about what actually happens during the exercise. So how should the exercise be to actually provoke changes? So we know something like we have these motor training programs, motor skill training, we have aerobic training, and all of them seem to have kind of benefits depending on the age group and also the sample. But we also know that the mechanisms can differ between these kind of exercise types. So it's quite difficult to say we have, for example, some kind of neuroefficiency driving changes in cognitive performance. Because the principle I was investigating at my PhD was more about what you're doing when it becomes automated, then you probably have a neuroefficiency. And for cognitive performance, I think it's more like you have to have novel experiences and not so much going into automation.
Yeah. So maybe you can tell a little bit what kind of research studies you are doing, what kind of research design, so we get the idea that how do you study the effects?
Yeah. So we're doing basically two types of direction, I would say. So we're looking at the acute effects of exercise. That means you have a single exercise session and then you're looking at the changes specific cognitive outcomes, and we try to find out which kind of mechanisms actually drive these changes. So looking at brain activity in the sense of cognitive processes, also looking at different processes like gaze, eye gaze, or autonomic systems, something like that. And I would say these acute exercise research really helps to understand what exercise actually can change in the brain. Processes that contribute to cognitive performance, but they are not always informative for the long-term effects of exercise. So you can have something that actually benefits cognition after a single session, but in the long term, there might be something else that is more efficient. So that's the second type, looking at the long-term effects, and we do it in the clinical setting. That means looking at benefits for children with ADHD, for example, or children born with preterm. And then we look at the effects in school children. So the idea is, could we promote the cognitive development by increasing physical activity or maybe enriching physical activity in the school setting? And so we have these kind of thoughts.
Yeah, sounds interesting. And when you said that some might improve in the acute and then it might not be the most effective in long term, I think it's kind of same analogy that if you train hard, your performance goes down, but then it goes up. So it's not always what happens acutely, but for the long term effects. And maybe we can start a little bit. You said the preterm babies. It sounds like an interesting and important topic. How do you do this study?
Yeah. So maybe I would like to start with how did I arrive at this sample?
Yes, please.
Because that's probably the question that's the first. So we were looking at the benefits, long-term benefits of exercise and cognition, and over different clinical studies, we found benefits for executive function. And then at some point, we were asking ourselves, so how can we bring these effects to the sample that really needs it? And then we were in Basel, I was collaborating with somebody that was doing research with preterm children or children born very preterm. And at this time, I recognized that actually these children have deficits in executive function, which can be like really diverse. They can have, yeah, some impairments in inhibitory control, maybe in working memory. And luckily, most of these deficits are not really visible when they turn older. So that's what many people tend to think. But actually, they're always like a little bit behind compared to full term. And you can even find studies showing that in adult age, they still have these problems. And that's why they have, for example, have a low academic achievement, and they have some problems in their career. It's not like that these problems are dramatic. That's the problem. They usually have these children are followed up until 5 years of age, typically in Switzerland. And then afterwards, when they do not have a lot of comorbidities like ADHD or something else, they are not really monitored any longer. So at that time, they're not followed up any longer. And when they enter school and you do have some research at that age, then they still have these executive function deficits, but they're not so pronounced that they need treatment like children with ADHD, but they are still having problems. And so that's why we're asking ourselves if we can actually try to promote their cognitive function for during the...
Yeah, sounds interesting and important. And how is it like, of course, you can be preterm like one day or several weeks. Is there a direct correlation with how much you are preterm, or how do you see the effects?
Yeah, sure. So we were looking at really very preterm children, also with children born before 2 weeks of gestation. Mm. So they're quite early. You also find some children like 26 weeks, something like that. And of course, they have much more problems than late preterms. And I'm quite sure that for late preterms, you won't see so much executive function deficits. And the earlier, you will see much more problems and you will develop into difficulties. And when you look at the literature, even outside of exercise and physical activity, there's not much known about interventions that we should do. So they are really until 2 or 5 years of age, and then they stop. Because they think, okay, now we somehow treated the problem, but most of them continue to have problems.
Sounds interesting. And how do you do the, what kind of intervention you have tried for them, and what were the results?
Okay, so when we started our research with this kind of children, we already had the impression that actually is exercise that provokes changes in motor skills be better suited maybe other exercise forms. And we also did a meta-analysis in 2021, where we were looking at the different exercise types, and then we found out actually coordinative or cognitive exercise types that demand coordination skills, that those are reaping the largest benefits. And that's why we were thinking, okay, how can we use an intervention in children born very preterm? And the problem is, of course, that you do not have many children that fulfill this criteria, because Basel is not so big. So we also were thinking about what is realistic, what kind of intervention can we offer? And Basel has a good distribution of judo sports clubs. And then we were setting up judo intervention. So it was a kind of beginner training that prepares for first belt examination. And we used this intervention in children born very preterm, and also children born at term, and also children with ADHD. So across three different samples. So that's the intervention we use.
For most sedentary behavior and physical activity researchers, collecting the research data is one of the most frustrating steps of a project, especially as inefficient data collection steals too much of your precious time, causes unnecessary stress and hassle, and can easily derail progress of your project. This is why we devised a revolutionary new way to collect data, introducing Phibion Sense Motion, the beginning of a new era. Phibion Sense Motion is a cutting-edge, next-generation system that allows you to easily and remotely collect, store, and manage data. Our solution features a tiny, waterproof device that captures the sedentary behavior and physical activity data, a mobile app for automatic uploading of the data from the device, and a cloud service for managing the data. Even better, all collected data is GDPR compliant, and you have access to automatically analyzed variables of activity types and raw 3-axis accelerometer data. Don't compromise on the quality of your research or the project timeframes. Discover the convenience and power behind our solution at sense.phibion.com. That is sens.phibion.com. Phibion, created by researchers for researchers.
Yeah, and how were the results?
The results, I would say, were positive, but also a little bit surprising in the sense that did not have the same effects across all samples. So for the children with ADHD, they improved working memory, but not inhibitory control. And the children born very preterm, it was the other way around. They improved inhibitory control, but not working memory. And the children born at term, they also improved inhibitory control. But even if they improved inhibitory control by exactly the same intervention, the mechanism was different. So this really shows us that the exercise effects can be quite different and the mechanism underlying these effects can differ just from the sample.
And do you have any explanation why this happened? It's quite surprising in a way that you do the same training. Of course, it's not same training for the skill. It could be that there's differences between skill levels or something, so it's not the same stimuli. Definitely, but yeah.
Yeah. So to be honest, for the children born very preterm, we were expecting this pattern of results just because we did a previous study and there we found out that the executive function deficits that were present in this sample were fully mediated by motor skill deficits. So we were thinking then when we can improve motor skills, we might have a transfer effect to executive function and especially inhibitory control. So this was what actually happened also in our study. For the children with ADHD, we thought that actually inhibitory control would improve, but it was working memory. And I think that for this kind of sample, probably people tend to think that actually the most pronounced impairment in executive function children with ADHD is inhibitory control, but you also find some studies saying that might be a problem with inhibitory control, but working memory deficits are much more consistent. When you have different individuals, ADHD, there might be some of them with high inhibitory deficits, but you will also find some that don't have any inhibitory control problems. And they are also, but they have consistent feature, they have these working deficits. So this could be one explanation. We know from previous studies that actually children or general individuals that have lower executive function, that they tend to benefit more from exercise. So this would mean they had a more or higher reserve on working memory capacity, and then they improved through exercise because there they had greater reserve. That would be like a simple explanation.
Yeah. And maybe if we go a little bit to a higher level in a way, maybe what's kind of your thought? Like, why is it that we are activating our leg muscles in certain way, if we describe motor skill training this way, that we are activating our motor cortex, our legs are moving in a certain way, arms are maybe moving in a certain way. Why is it good for executive function? Why is it not like that we do some games with our brain or do some kind of things with our brain, eyes or any other sense? Why is it the moving of the limbs or balance?
That's an important question and also a tricky question, because you could phrase it this way. So why is it good for the brain to move the muscles this way and develop motor skills? The other way of explaining the link between them would be to say, maybe there's a shared set of neural substrates, and that's what we actually, where we have some clues on, so that you have that are involved in both motor skill development, but also you need them for cognitive performance. You can think of a joint set of abilities, but also brain regions. And this means when you train one side, you will have transfer effects to the other side. So, for example, people already know that when you do cognitive training, you can also improve your motor performance. And it's also the other way around. When you improve motor skills, you might have a transfer effect to cognition. And this could simply be because they rely on similar structures. We also know from some studies that actually children with a low working memory load, they can use some of motor areas to support their working memory during cognitive tasks, just like a compensation mechanism. That's something is interesting that actually provides some indications that there's a joint set. And also makes sense when you look at these cognitive processes involved in executive function, like setting priorities, identification of the stimulus, response selection. You also find these processes involved when you do like motor skill training or you try to develop your motor skills, because everything that is novel, you will need these kind of cognitive processes. So that's probably the link why you can expect benefits. And so, I would assume I would assume that it's different when you have, for example, like aerobic training, anaerobic training, because you have different mechanism. You won't have the emphasis on motor skills, but you will have like different mechanisms in place. And that makes it quite complicated, but also interesting.
So if I try to simplify, would you say that it's mainly that sport training or motor skill training is just a good way to challenge the brain in many, many different ways, that you need to use many different parts of the brain. You need to use your visual system, proprioception, motor cortex to direct the muscles. You have response selection in judo, for example, what to do. So is it just a good way of challenging the brain, and then you get the effects that are transferred to other tasks also?
Yeah, I think that's one way you could put it, because as you said, it's a good way of challenging the brain. And we know that, for example, when you do like cognitive training, this can be really effective. When you have, for example, like working memory training, you will have benefits from working memory, obviously. But sometimes you won't see any far transfer effects to different cognitive domains. And that's because you train what you test. And when you think of exercise, then these cognitive processes, you're not aware of these cognitive processes when you're doing these sports, because you focus on the movement. And I think it's a different way of training these skills. And because you do not train them specifically like a cognitive task, you probably have a bigger transfer. At least this would be indicated by the benefits that are not too specific. So we do not have evidence saying that actually exercise only benefits inhibitory control. You will find a study where you have changes in response inhibition, then you will find some studies working memory and different kinds of cognitive domains. So I would say that's probably an indication for a transfer across domains. And that's what you get when you don't really train so specifically what you actually want to improve.
Thanks for joining us this week on Physical Activity Researcher Podcast. If you like the show, make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing or following the show on Twitter. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you found value in the show, we would really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you're using. Or if you would, in a real old school way, simply tell a friend about the show. It would be a great help for us. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for forthcoming episodes, so be sure to tune in. Thank you all for your support and have a great day.